Welcome to the Seamanship Courses podcast, where we discuss maritime convention. Qualified. Your phone rings and it's somebody asking you to take a boat from somewhere like Margaretness, not up the Thames, but out to sea to somewhere like Harwich, for example. So what would you do? So I would say, right, I'd say to the owner, right, thanks, I'll need at least a week. And I'll let you know if I need any more than that. Put the phone down after getting the name of the vessel, who owns the boat. And it's too late in the day to go and look at the boat, so you turn your computer on and you do all the research you can with the Lloyd's shipping registry, the company's house, and most importantly, reports that are in the public domain, such as MAIB reports. So you can see if that boat has had accidents that have been near or fatal occurrences on there. Okay? So that's the first thing you can do. Know that that's what they want to hear, that you are going to be duly diligent in wanting a week and then going through. This is checking that this company, whoever owns the boat, aren't under... investigation, the MAIB report, and the findings of that were not just last week.
Yeah.
Then, once you've got that, it gives you a bit of a either reassurance or concern. Thank you. Right. So you've done that, and then you say, right. So you find out where it is, and then you find out where the mooring is, and as soon as you can, you arrange to go there. Depending on the size of the ship, you might say to the owner, right, if that ship has an engineer, yeah, as part of the crew that is there, you want to be met by the engineer or the officer on watch on that boat. That vessel shouldn't just be open to any Tom, Dick or Harry getting aboard. Yep, so you got that in mind. You've got security, you've got their history, you know, have they had any accidents or under... that have been, you know, newsworthy with the MAIB. That's the main thing to mention. Then you would go there as soon as you could. And so you want that very entrance of the gate to the brow to look good. You want signage on there saying no entry, no unauthorized entry, or wear PPE if it's deemed to be a working area. If it's at the crack of dawn, you want lighting to come on, and you want the gate at the top to be locked, not just swinging open. Once you've got access to that, you want that brow, if it descends, not to be over the law, breaking the law, but by being too steep. So it adheres to that paragraph from COSWAP about safe means of access. So as you're walking down that brow, it is your feet grip on it underfoot. But a morning like today that's drizzly and a bit sleety, it should be salted, you know, if it's at all icy. All of that reassures you. Yep. So there shouldn't be weeds hanging, it shouldn't be slippery, it shouldn't be dark, there shouldn't be no
handrails.
There shouldn't be no lights in the dark, and so on. It's as you're coming down that brow, you would look, if she's in front of you, at this ship. And you would want this ship to look as glistening as this, you know, nicely painted, you know, gleaming. If plimsoll line, and if they say, what's a plimsoll line, you then say, well, Samuel Plimsoll created that to stop ships being overloaded way back when boats sank due to being overloaded. And there's a statue up on the Victoria Embankment.
Samuel Plimsoll.
Samuel Plimsoll.
Thank you.
The hero that he was. Nice politician. All right. So you look at all of that. You also look at her lines or chains, whatever they are. They should look as nice as the Erasmuses were. They were nice, fresh, yellow lines on there. They weren't covered in weed. And
damaged
or fraying. And she was properly tied up with a bow line, a stern line, and two spring lines.
Minimum.
Absolute minimum. A bigger ship will have more. A bigger ship will have possibly chains. So that has reassured you, because this little orange boat is, you know, looking that way. So you get to the bottom of that brow, and there should be a safe means of access. We just tied those boats up there so that the gates were lined up. Should be a step on there. Step on the boat. If you have someone there to meet, you would want them to meet and greet you and reassuredly uniformed, whether it's a boiler suit or a, you know, a captain's kind of looking, you know, with stripes. You don't want them to be looking, you know, like a vagabond, would you?
Mm-hmm.
No. If that person can provide you with something, you would want a form of a checklist to glance at, in just the same way that the MCA do when they come to look at the ships. And that first document is called a 1603. It's a yellow sheet of paper.
Yeah.
A vessel that we're talking about will be inspected so that she's fit to sail by the MCA.
Which one was the front page of 1602?
1602.
So you'd ask to see that first and then ask whether there was a 1603.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
When the MCA come to inspect this orange boat,
yep.
At once a year out of the water and once a year in the water, at each time they leave, as evidence of them having surveyed it, a sheet that's yellow, 1602, detailing their inspection on this boat at that address. If there is nothing wrong with the boat at all, after they've done their huge DSM, Domestic Safety Management, or ISM, International Safety Management, checklist, if there's nothing wrong, then all they'll leave is a 1602, and they'll give a stamp of approval to say they can keep doing whatever the boat does, whether it's dredging. The 1602 is given when the boat has been surveyed.
Right.
If the boat has no deficiencies,
yeah.
Then that's all you'll get.
That's it.
As well as the 1602, you will be granted the certificate to do whatever that boat can do. A passenger certificate for us, for Corey's it will be a towing certificate, for a cargo vessel like the Polo Rose, yep, they'll have a cargo certificate. So that's evidence of the inspection, like an MOT, and the actual certificate that goes up on public display is like a tax disc used to be on a car, metaphorically speaking. So that shows anyone that's on there, they can look at it and say, right, that is in date. If there have been any deficiencies, which is likely because the MCA are obliged to be duly diligent, they will give you a sheet listing the deficiencies, and that is on a 1603. So that you can sit down, ideally this engineer will make some tea, and you can look at the deficiencies and you can see what the MCA asked that company or that owner to fix on that boat within a certain period of time. A 1603 has a user guide on the back showing how many weeks or months the MCA have been given you to fix, say, the ship's horn or the VHF.
And that's fine?
No.
So, sorry, just to recap, 1602, if there's nothing wrong, 1603...
will accompany it.
If there are things wrong.
Yeah.
And it will say, like, what's wrong, has it been rectified, and by when?
Just going to ask that. Yeah. So the 1603 also says that they've been rectified.
Yeah.
And right. The initials of the engineer who's fixed it.
Right.
So once you've got that, then you think, right, well, there's only been a few bits and bobs wrong with the boat, or is there a huge list that have not yet been fixed?
Mm.
The coding on the back of that 1603 will say whether you can actually sail without fixing the things, or whether you cannot sail without fixing the things. Yeah, if they put a code 17.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I'll never forget this one. It means you must fix it before you set sail. So you wouldn't then. Then you could phone the owner back and say, I can't go anywhere until these deficiencies have been rectified.
So really all we need to know is, we could say, I would look for code 17, and if I saw one, then I'd know that the boat can go out without it being rectified then and there, for example.
We're really going into a lot of depth here. If you saw a 16 and your passage plan was 2.5 weeks long, then you wouldn't be able to go, because a 16 gives you 14 days to fix whatever's wrong. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll speak again next week.